This is a very important limud. In the world of halacha, we have two very clear markers for what is halacha. You have shas, and a person who takes Talmud Bavli, and even in an amateur way, it draws conclusions from all the sugyas. He will be bound to make a lot of mistakes, but at the end of the day, he still has a very clear sense of what halacha is. The structure of halacha is based on Talmud Bavli, and that's the bottom line of it. There are machlokes shonim, how to learn a sugya, how to deal with sugyas contradict each other, but at least the person has an outline of the halacha. He could make a very, very clumsy attempt at a Rambam, but he can get something there. Then he has a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is pretty much the final marker for halacha. There are many places we don't pass on Shulchan Aruch when all Gdol Achronim disagree, but Olav Araya. In other words, if anything Shulchan Aruch says, there's got to be a reason in the poskim why there would be noita not like that. And therefore, a person who has Shas has the outline, and a person who has Shulchan Aruch has Lemaisa, the structure of it. That is in Halacha. In Agada, we don't have anything like it. We have Chazal, which are vague. Sometimes we have no idea what they mean. They contradict each other. It's impossible to draw up any serious type of hashkafic structure from Chazal. We don't have a Shulchan Aruch, so there's no place where you can say, oh, is it hashkafic or hashkafic? We also don't even have clear definitions for a lot of these things, and that's why it's impossible. So people have stories, Vertlach, and so on, which really is very hard to say that that's a structure to build hashkafic on. So the only thing we have in the world of Hashkafa are the Gedolei Rishonim. Some wrote more, some less, but the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, the Ramban stands out, and others that their writings, and each one of them drew different Yesodeis in different places, and together it forms the corpus of what we would consider to be the hashkafic structure, underpinning structure of Yiddish hashkafa, of Yesodei HaTorah. The problem is it's not in one place. A second problem is they don't speak the same language. In other words, what one person calls hashkacha, the other one might not, will call something else. It's just that's the reality of it, because it means different things in different contexts. Also, you don't have head-on machlokas and rayas back and forth, all of which makes halacha easy to relatively easy to get from Svar. You don't have an hashkafa. So at least learning Gedolei Rishonim and getting a sense of a picture of it makes a lot of sense. So if a person has the Gedolei Rishonim that he's learned and Yesodos that he's built up, he has the underpinnings for Yiddish Hashkafa. So what we did in Yeshiva was, after Shabbos morning, I wanted to do it around the parasha. I didn't want to make it into something its own. So I would work getting together Rishonim on the parasha, and my three criteria was Rishonim. They had to talk about something that has to do with the parasha pasuk, so that way, or else, I mean, you know, why do I pin it on this particular week? And finally, it has to make a shkafen, and also it has to be something that deals with a fundamental topic rather than pshat in the pasuk. Those are my criteria, and over the years I gathered together quite a bit of material, and finally put it out as a sefer, as a Yesodei HaTorah. My input into the sefer is picking the pieces, punctuation and paragraphing, which was in some of the Sfarim extraordinarily difficult. There's a very chashuv sefer called the Akeda, which the print that I used, they recently put it out decently, but until 2-3 years ago, it was each chapter was tens of pages long without a single punctuation mark in faded Rashi script. It really was excruciating, but extremely valuable material. And so I paragraphed, punctuated, and put in side bars to help you guide into the topic, and also I cut out things that were tangential and not part of the flow of this thing. So Be'ez Hashem, hopefully with time a person picks up enough things that he can base it on. I just recently had a share, and somebody, I mentioned something that a Sefer says, that Yekim says, and the person says, Reb Chaim Brisker said, not like that. The problem is Reb Chaim Brisker was a vertel that somebody recorded in Pi'ah Shmua, and the difference between a Sefer that writes out something and is dealing with it, a Rishon, versus a vert, it's Reb Chaim Brisker, but no one has an idea what the context is, what it means, what circumstance. So that's the type of things that are that you gain when you see it inside and you have what to stand on. Okay, so let's start. So what we'll do is, Be'ez Hashem, we'll go every week, we'll start from the beginning of the parish, and if we're zeicha to go for many years, we'll pick up every year where we left off. Then we'll have a Dovah Shalim. Okay, the first one deals with Kvura. So the pasuk indicates that there's something very, very special about kvura. Now, there's an inyan of kavod ames, but that requires kvura. It doesn't require fighting over a specific kever, and chevron is considered one of the most important acquisitions of Klal Yisrael. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya explains, v'tochen lo ma'oid l'shem kiyas arba yichevron. So it was called Kiryas Arba, but Chevron is a special name given to it. He nikras Chevron al shem shekola kovusham nafshe mischaberes lemala bir lokim im dalad machnes shchina. It's a place where his nefesh is mischaber with dalad machnes shchina, and that's why it's called Kiryas Arba. V'loy lechinam chamdu avas ha'ilam. So let's understand a little bit what he's trying to say. First of all, even though Ruchnius is above and beyond the world, and it's something that is not limited to place, but still there are places in this world that have a skula to be more, it has a certain affinity for certain ruchnis. For instance, Yerushalayim is a place, it's a physical place, and it is much more, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech HaLetz Kavod and so on, it is the place that one is able to connect more strongly to ruchnis. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. So different places have different skulas, and skula doesn't mean, you know, when we think of skula, we think of some sort of, you know, it's something a little bit off the beaten path or whatever. The word skula is used here, the word skula, the way I'd use it is, it's a type of, it's a property that's hard to pin down through rational process, but nonetheless exists. When we say something's al derech haskula, we say, I know it's associated with it, not quite sure how. That's the word skula used in a more proper way in Rishonim and so on. So different places have a skula. The word chevron means to connect. When a person's is nifter, and we'll see the next piece actually, speaks about something similar. When a person is nifter, his nefesh and his shama have to reconnect back to their shayrish. That is what has to happen. It's a process. It's not click on, click off, and we'll see later why in the next piece, actually. But it's something that is part of that metzias, and therefore there are places in the world that have that skula more. Chevron has a strong keser with Yerushalayim. When they would start the day on Yom Kippur, they would ask Heira Mizrachat Chevron. So Chevron is sort of the shoresh of the Avos connecting back to their shoresh. So when a person goes to Kvura, he's reconnecting back to his shoresh. And since Chevron is a place without skula, that's why it was so important, Dafka, that's why he was so Masa Nefesh to bury themselves over there. It also means that when we mispal in Chevron, it's sort of a gateway to something much deeper. It has in itself a certain skula because of that. That's Rabbeinu Bechaya. The next piece comes from Torah Samincha. Now, just who these people are, the Rabbi Abachaya and Torah Samincha were both Talmidim of the Rashba. Rabbi Abachaya is much more known. Rabbi Abachaya's work on Chumash is an extraordinary work. It in many ways encompasses much of what the Rishonim did on Chumash. He goes up Yiderach HaPshat, Yiderach HaRemez, Yiderach HaSoid, Yiderach HaSeichel, Yiderach HaMedrash. He has like different Mahalchim. The Torah Samincha is a sefer written by Rabbi Yaakov Skili, Samach Kuf Yud Lamed Yud, which I believe is from the word Sicily. He came from Sicily. He was also a Talmud of Rashba. His sefer on Chumash is more drushes. It's like a long drush or two on each parasha, a little more Kabbalistic, but explains himself and says a lot of very important things. Okay. So now he's asking not on why there was so much nefesh on the kavura, but why there was so much nefesh on why did Yaakov go and be maspid? What's the inyan of hespid? So he says, "Vim tayma, uma hergesh leishem meis bekavet leishemler." What is the meis care about the covet? Where ke'ever doimim? He's like a stone. So it's not true. Ze einoy. The mace knows everything until Stimus Hagoylo. Because the nefesh is so usually imparted to guf, it can't let go so quickly. It keeps floating above the guf. It thinks it might be able to return. Ubishalm, it says, called klase yoimin. All 3 days, the first 3 days, nafsha taisal gufa, the nefesh floats on the body. Sover dihi hadrebe, it thinks it's going to come back. Basat losim, after 3 days, mikivim di chamya, the kresen ifkas yimnuval, when it sees the body destroyed, shafgala va'azala, it goes and leaves it. So first of all, let's talk a little about this. We're talking about a process of a neshama and a guf. We tend to think of the neshama as being like a ghost inside and just it flies out and that's it. Really, a much better way of thinking of it is to think of your sense of self. A person has a sense of self and he associates it with his with whatever he is. Let's give a mashal. A kid growing up, so there's a tekufa when he knows he's already in yeshiva, when he knows he's already in high school, in bar mitzvah, and he still acts like a kid sometimes because he still is what he was. It's very, very hard. Your sense of self, your awareness of self, is a combination. The neshama is not a separate entity that ke'ilu is completely something else. It's the you. You, the conscious you, is an integration of neshama, guf, nefesh, many, many different things. And the balance of what you see yourself as it varies. And therefore, if you've identified yourself with your guf, this is who you are. It's like always, a person thinks, Rahman al-Islam, if a person has a transplant of any aver, lungs, heart, liver, kidney, okay, it's a medical procedure, it's difficult, and so on. But they've had a face transplant. So that's something that really is psychologically extraordinarily difficult to get used to. The idea that the me that I see in the mirror is not the me that I know and not the me that I associated with. And in time, people make transitions. People, they get married. It takes a while till they stop thinking of themselves as a bacha or a wife. But it's a whole, you know, it's a transition to begin thinking like a family person, a person who's in another country. All of these things, our sense of self is us, and it takes a long time to come to grips with a change in the core of self. So a person who lived in this world and he was, and he saw all his life his body was just like a vehicle, nothing, not me, then a person has no problem transitioning because he never was that. But all of us, Kemat, almost every single human being doesn't, or identify ourselves with our body. And whenever a person feels that Chasson, there's a mum in his body, he feels self is missing. It takes a long time for that, to start thinking of yourself as something other than what used to greet you in the mirror. Haloi Tirei says, Gafile vary adam kishahurgulasis dovabas smother, beza maise sheyase, he misnoim afiloshebashas maise. Take a look, he said. Even a physical act becomes a reflex. They are safe of achat yoitzabahen. So a safe as hand can move, he could even be not thinking and he can do it unconsciously. He just kind of do it. For other michalal, if a person is gotten used to going someplace, he'll find himself going to the same place because the body takes on a life of its own and it goes a certain place. Even the lips, it says, they keep muttering after you finish speaking. So you see that habit becomes actually it what runs things. So don't wonder on the nefesh that it keeps trying to reconnect to the body because that's the self that it knew. When it finally hits home that I'm going no place and this is it, there's no going back to what I was, the nefesh begins to start thinking of itself as something else, as something ruchni. Now we add something like this. V'yesh be'avid dover dak ma'oid. There's some sort of very thin barrier. Porus kinegdo ma'akva, which stops the nefesh. V'al t'tameich efshe dover kinegdo ha'fil takival ha'mechit shabazi ha'veresay simeriv dakusa. V'echam fener dover ba'avid. So you can ask me, well, what kind of barrier could stop a neshama if a person is killed in a deep dungeon, then Shama escapes. There's no ainzutain, it's not a tiny. Ki yoisa oimid connect the dover ruchni, dover gunash arab. It's a ruchnistic entity. And there's some ruchnistic entity that's blocking it. Va oisa dover dakba via oimid connect the Shama, who nicker the akoilis. But that thin barrier is torn through the koilis. O kshisa koilis hatsoks al mace, oisa mescha dak nikra. So this crying and screaming rips that apart. The nefesh goes up. And that's the reason for hesver koilos. I want to translate a little bit into language that we could understand a bit. What's the point? What is that barrier, so to speak? So, just like every area is demarcated with some sort of barrier, some sort of fence. Lemashal, let's take, I once heard from one of the Shivas in Beis HaTalmud, actually, Rav Gottlieb, but Beis HaTalmud in New York. Someone asked him, how does an Erev make something enclosed? How does two poles and a wire on top make something an enclosed area? So he told him, because the person feels enclosed. The person feels that it's a section of area. We have a neighbor across the street, very, very fine, very special people. One of the children has some sort of, I don't know, it's like motor difficult, not sure exactly why, like has super sensitive certain touch. A young boy. And they made a fence around the front yard that has many, many gaps in it. And he said it's because of the child. So I asked him, I mean, it's he can run out through, you know, it's Peretz Merubah Lo Omeid. He can run out anytime. What do you gain? He said he's not doing bedafka. he needs to have the sense of a barrier marked off in his brain. Like, this is up to where you can go. Then it's fine. So this is enough to give him that sense, and he's not going to go. He doesn't do bedafka, and he needs to have a more concrete sense of barrier than just saying don't go past here. We mark off areas. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the neshama down into this world. This world needs something to mark it off. It's ruchnius, so we don't know what we're talking about, but whatever it is, there's some sort of demarcation between this world and the other world. And as long as we're in this world, we're kept in this world, and this is part of what doesn't allow the neshama to go up. So what does the screaming and yelling help? The screaming and yelling helps because, let's translate it again into something emotional. When a person tells me X, Y, or Z, I'm not interested in doing it. Difficult for me to do it. So I don't do it because it's difficult. I have my life, and someone just asked me to go and help somebody across the street. Hard for me. If the person screams or yells, that urgency breaks. So my sense of, listen, Sunday morning I'm here and this is where I am and I'm not going anyplace, even if it's a little bit good to do it, I'm staying here. But when somebody yells or screams, it's a statement, and to me it means this is extraordinary, this is unusual, this is something that is not normal, and it breaks the barrier, so to speak. So the sense of, for the nefesh, the sense of leaving this world, the sense of finality, of closure, is the Prius and the Koilus and the so on of the Hesped. So there's the Inyan of Hesped is a sort of a siyua to the nefesh to understand that its life is over and it has now a different surah. He is Zechon of Vracha. He's no longer Sheyichya. Vehine emes vini nochen. He says this also later on by Shiras Levim, if I'm not mistaken. He speaks about it. Just what is the maila of singing or any type of when a person is davening, for instance, the singing and the kolos that he associates with the davening. I mean, and the answer is, we tend to take things to within our world, within our metzias, and those things are, they sort of reach a certain. They don't go far emotionally from us. When a person sings, it sort of breaks that emotional circle that's around him, and it helps. So they go together. It the way he pictures it, it helps it break through that barrier to go to Shemayim. The way it breaks through our barrier of the norm. I was amazed. There is in the davening Yom Kippur. After the Avoda, after Sarug Malchus, right before Sarug Malchus, there's like these long, there's this piyutim you say very, very, very quickly. Because the Avoda has just taken a lot of time, Sarug Malchus on the radar screen, and people begin to think of Mincha Nila already. Those piyutim are said very, very quickly. And they're basically all about how wonderful things were when the base mikdash was around, how. Since then it's terrible, and how lasid lavo it's going to be, and please save Klal Yisrael, and so on and so forth. Fine, those are said the speed of light. This year I heard from a beautiful Hillel Palay sings it. It's stunningly moving, simple tune, but stunningly moving. The words take on a life and a meaning. And Matzi and Kippa, but M.C. Ben Yeshiva, I played it for them. I unfortunately don't have the ability to sing, but I played it. And everybody was like enraptured. Everybody sat and sang it again and again. I was thinking to myself, the words mean the same thing. It's what happened. You know, the effect of the music is something incredible. The same words. It's v'siteinu l'shemus hila, and you should call Yisrael, you should show everybody how much you love us and take us out of the gullus and bring us to gula. But there's a certain emotional habit. Like these, anything that's in routine and norm, anything that's in a circle routine norm doesn't have emotion to it, because or else we'd go out of our minds. It's like a child. When you have your first baby, the first time it hurts itself, or you should be called doctor. Then okay, you know, that's part of it. That's how we work life. A niggun is something that breaks through that. And therefore he says, V'cheino ya David mizamo menagim b'shiroisu mahalal. That's like David added zimra and shira to it. In order to add that zimra to bring it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh shekol ha'mamor of zmirois v'hu meloshen v'kamach le'sizmer. So he gives a cute pshat. V'kamach le'sizmer, it means pruning. You should not prune your kerem. These are called zmiros because they prune something. They prune away, they cut away at this mechitza. The Letzanim say that they're called Psukah de Zimra, is called Psukah de Zimra because it allows for an extraordinary amount of pruning. You come late, you skip this haluka, that haluka, that haluka. It's like Meloshen Kamach Lesizma, you can prune it away. That's why it's called Psukah de Zimra. But he says the word Zimra over here means it breaks away, it prunes away at the barrier that we would call habit. That's why some are called tzaka, some are called tchina. Koyla Hashem Eza, Koyla Hashem Eschanan. Or Hafti Gishma Hashem Eschol Tachnuroi. Okay, it's a bizeh. Makdim Atzaka Tchina Mir. So the scream or the yell is always, it's there to pave the road. Im Kenyesh tells G'doyla B'tzaka Kos HaMeis. So when you have the tzaka and so on the meis, V'alkein Avrom Shehik Ezboyer V'hizik B'chochma Kol Siso Oilom. Yodam tells us, so he understood the Toelos, So the Torah of Mincha is giving us a Havana in what Hesped is, in what Haromas calls, Mira, and so on, and with the understanding that on a Ruchnistic level, different worlds have barriers. In Kabbalah, they speak of the different worlds to be parallel to the body, and obviously that's always Kabbalah, but there are parts of our body that are cut, they're secluded from each other with a membrane. And a membrane is not a big, it's just a thin membrane. Around the lungs we have, around the heart we have, the intestines, and these are extremely, extremely important because they don't allow for infection to go from one to the other and so on. But they're very thin membranes, and those are used a lot as mishalim for different barriers, so to speak, in the worlds. The point is, each world is a self-contained unit because of a barrier of sorts. And tzaka, zimra, shir, all that are possible, are things that actually break that barrier. Let's see one more piece. I just want to, and then we'll see if anybody wants to discuss anything or questions. Avram zaken bo bayom Hashem beres Avram bakoil. Ukeshe'om ha'lo toiv lonu kol ha'yom l'chayseinu k'ayom hazeh. This is a bit of a chayin dvarim. Ki ha'mitzvah yesh metelos l'gufa l'nefesh. The double lashon l'toiv lonu kol ha'yom l'chayseinu k'ayom hazeh tells us that mitzvahs have a talos both for the guf and the nefesh. He discusses this much more in Dvarim, that we need to believe the mitzvahs on both levels. We'll talk about it then. But l'tayv lo nekol ha-yomim ze to'elos ha-nefesh olam haba ki heim heim ha-nekorim yomim. The time in olam haba is called yomim. Ve'zeo ma shekoze betzadikim bo be-yomim b'loshen yediyah ku miskarev lo'isen ha-yomim ha-ruchim ha-nitzchiyim. So the yom shekulo Shabbos umnucha, the yom, olam haba is called yom. Hush iske dover aleim miyesh achavitz chayim oev yom leiris toiv, ki beoisen hayomim yiske adam letoiv atzafon. So it says Avram zoking bo bayomim means he entered into the world that is yomim. I think the main point that he's trying to point, the main thing that he's trying to point out is, or the main point that this shows us, is musagim like chodesh and shana are shayach only to our world. They denote fundamental change. Shanim is kama yimei shnei chayecha. Loyad ruchu behem loylam yimei shnei chayev is going to be meivesrim, and so on. The shanim is associated with a kitzva. Chodesh is associated with radical, with changes. A yom is a fundamental unit of bria. That's the most fundamental unit of bria. And had Adam, you know, he had Adam not been choyted, that's what he mezeichet to. So a yom is the unit that is most associated with olam haba. There are changes in yom and laila. That those changes are changes that are real, and there are different anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a yom stays around, but the yomim don't tally up. A year means it's a tallying of days till a final point. Now chodesh is a different type of mahalach, but that's why yomim is associated with haba as opposed to shanim. Okay, any questions, any points, anything anybody wants to talk about?
Well, if you want to ask a question, I will unmute everyone. And if you want to keep muted, you just change it back to mute.
Hi, I'm looking at Phoenix Cloud Experiment.
Yeah.
So, I think when I'm touching the heart, so when he describes the path, whenever we have some discussion, things like this, which they don't base directly on the Chazal, how do we discern and differentiate what is drawn from the Sora? And there are Masorah, but Masorah up until them, and what reflects in some way an influence just of medieval philosophy generally. We assume that there is no such thing. We can't historicize it in any way, and we just take as a given that the Rishonim say is sort of just pure, it's still Torah without any influence of the intellectual milieu that they were operating in.
So the general understanding is that if the person was big enough, then whatever he absorbed and allowed in and presented it passed through a certain Torah filter. Let's give an example, a very different way. Everybody reads newspapers, hears radio, whatever. Maybe I'm dating myself, but I'll upon him. You know, a person gets in all sorts of different ideas. When I spit back to you and I tell you, oh, now it's very good for this and this type of business. Now it's bad for this and this type of business. The validity of it is kind of limited because, okay, whatever, you know, what I'm telling you is basically what newspapers said. Yes, no. If a person is an extremely good businessman, very astute businessman, he also hears these reports, sees these things, he gets all the information, but his mind, even subconsciously, filters that, he's just saying it because he wants to get attention, he's not on mark, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So when I hear his opinion, it's not necessarily that he might have inside sources, but his way of evaluating and filtering the same stuff that I heard unfiltered is very different. And the Rishonim varied, but the Ramban was certainly familiar with much of the general philosophy. I mean, he quotes it at the times, he uses some Zilshonos, it's clear, but the Ramban's filter is such that we feel that the ideas that he allowed through are correct. There are other people who are contemporaries that we feel they were philosophers first and Torah personality second, and we take it with three grains of salt as to should we accept it or not. So it's the measure of the person. So of course many ideas presented by Rishon did come from maybe an outside source. They came from the way he saw things, but the measure of the person gives me the measure of has it been filtered, evaluated, and presented Toradic, or is this a from Jew echoing medieval philosophy? That's really the and that's, so that depends on our sense of the person.
I want to ask on the previous piece on Taras HaMincha.
Yeah.
It seems like from the Yerushalmi that it takes 30 days for the neshama to leave the body.
Yeah.
In Gemara Brachos in the Bavli, there's a whole sugya on the Mason, where it sounds like it takes 12 months until the body is part of the...
So we obviously... we're going to assume that these are different dargas. The fact that the Torah gave different periods of avelos it means that each one of them you still have. If we mourn our parents, Yud Beis Chodesh, so that means for 12 months there's still some sheikha, some kesha. The Yerushalmi could be speaking about one certain darg of nefesh that goes up, the main part of nefesh, there's nothing left. It says in some other places that around the Kevet Tzad is always something left. We're talking about so many different dargas of nefesh Hashem, it's hard to say machlokes, you'd rather say they're addressing different nekudas. Shloshim is the main period of Avelus. Shloshim is Avelus, even by Avivimoy, Shloshim is markedly different than Yubis Chodesh in terms of Chomer and everything. So we assume that the main Avelus, the main connection is over at Shloshim, and Yubis Chodesh, there's still some remnant of it.
A difference in tzaddikim and that they will detach faster.
So it's actually the other way around. We'll see in Parshas Vayichim, it's Hashem. It's sometimes by tzaddikim they never leave because for them there's no difference. And a super tzaddik like a Bein HaKadosh, Yaakov Avinu, they lived in the world of Kedusha here. So the low mace applies to it. So on a generally speaking, the answer is yes. The more ruchnis a person, the easier it is to detach. But for somebody like Rabbeinu HaKadosh Yaakov, who's Kadosh, Kadosh Yaakov and Rabbeinu HaKadosh, they are totally detached from this world, and therefore this world is they never live in this world, so for them what's the difference? Their guf is ruchni and so on. So it goes and then it comes around full circle that the person who's super kaddish is here forever. That's the flip side of it, so to speak. Okay, good. So okay, ha guten, bye.
Thank you.